When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
You're not going to believe what these park rangers found when they stumbled upon a haunted cabin in Yosemite. When I was a teenager, my best friend Jake and I practically lived outdoors. We weren't your typical high school kids. While others spent their weekends at the mall or glued to their gaming consoles, we were deep in the woods, miles away from the noise of civilization. Our parents knew we had homes, of course, but they also knew that the wilderness called to us in a way that nothing else could. Every Friday after school, we grabbed our gear, disappeared into the forest, and only returned when the Sunday evening sun was beginning to dip behind the mountains. Jake and I were inseparable, bonded by our love for the wild. We knew the trails like the back of our hands, could start a fire in the pouring rain and identify every plant and animal we encountered. Our packs were always ready, filled with essentials, compasses, knives, first aid kits, and enough food to last a week. But the truth was, we rarely relied on what we brought with us. We thrived on what the forest provided, fishing in the streams, foraging for berries, and occasionally snaring small game. The forest wasn't just a playground, it was home. There was a certain thrill in pushing the boundaries, venturing into the deepest, most remote parts of the national park, the areas that were technically off-limits. The rangers would warn us and tell us stories of people getting lost or worse, but Jake and I always laughed it off. We knew the woods better than anyone, or so we thought. One day at school, we overheard some kids talking about something strange, something that caught our attention in a way that no ghost story or urban legend ever had before. They were talking about a cabin that only appeared under a full moon deep inside the national park, in a place where no one had ever found it during the day. The cabin was said to only be there for a few hours, from midnight until the first light of dawn, and then it would vanish without a trace. It sounded like the perfect challenge, the kind of thing Jake and I couldn't resist. A cabin that wasn't supposed to exist, that only appeared at night and only on a full moon? We had to find it. But we also knew the risks. The part of the park where the cabin was rumored to be at wasn't just off limits, it was dangerous. The trails were steep and overgrown, and the wildlife there was more aggressive. But that only made the idea more appealing to us. If we could find this cabin, if we could stay there until morning, it would be the ultimate adventure. The kind of story that would keep the other kids in awe for years. So we made a plan. The next full moon was only a week away, and we had spent the days leading up to it preparing. We packed our gear more carefully than ever, studied maps of the park, and even told our parents that we were going on a regular camping trip to avoid any suspicion. We knew we were trespassing, and if that we have gotten caught, the consequences would be severe. But we were determined. We were going to find that cabin, no matter what. As the day of the full moon approached, an electric excitement hung in the air. We didn't talk about what we might find in the cabin, if anything at all, but both of us felt a strange pull towards it as if the cabin was calling to us. And maybe, in some way, it was. By the time Friday rolled around, our packs were ready, our hearts were racing, and the forest was waiting. The bell rang for lunch, but Jake and I were already gone in our minds, our thoughts far from the classroom walls and out in the vast wilderness of Yosemite. The plan we had been brewing all week was all we could think about. Every tick of the clock, every rustle of paper felt like it was dragging on just to torture us. We exchanged knowing glances, the kind that didn't need words, just a nod and a grin that said, "It's time." By the time lunch started, we couldn't take it anymore. "What do you think?" Jake whispered, leaning over his desk, trying to look casual. I grinned back at him. "I think we've got better things to do than sit here." We both knew the risks. Getting caught skipping school would land us in some serious trouble. But that seemed like a small price to pay compared to the adventure that was waiting. Without a second thought, we made our move. Slipping out of school was easy enough. We had done it before for much less exciting reasons. A quick dash out of the back door, a few alleyways to avoid the main road, and we were free. Jake's car was parked a couple of blocks away, and mine wasn't far from his. We split up, each heading home to grab our gear. The excitement bubbled up inside me as I rushed through the front door, hoping my parents wouldn't ask too many questions. But they were still at work, and the house was quiet. Perfect. Within minutes, I had everything I needed. I threw my pack over my shoulder and shot Jake a quick text. "Ready, meet you at the entrance." His response came almost instantly. "On my way." We drove to the park entrance, the road familiar yet somehow new, with the adrenaline pumping through my veins. Yosemite loomed ahead, the towering trees and rugged peaks of promise of what was to come. When I pulled up, Jake was already there, leaning against his car, his own pack at his feet. "Took you long enough," he joked, but I could see the same restless energy in his eyes. "Had to make sure I didn't forget anything," I shot back, though we both knew we had been packed and ready for days. We didn't waste any time. With our packs secured and a final check to make sure we had everything, we set off down the trail. The familiar crunch of dirt and leaves under our boots was like music, and the forest around us felt alive with possibility. We were trespassing, sure, but that only added to the thrill. We were the kings of this wild domain, and today was going to be our greatest conquest yet. As we hiked deeper into the park, we started talking about the cabin, what may be inside, what we hoped to find. "I bet it's full of old stuff," Jake said, pushing a branch out of the way. "Like a time capsule, maybe even some gold or something." I laughed. "Gold in a cabin?" I was thinking more like a stash of old books or maybe even some creepy artifacts. You know, the kind of stuff that would make your skin crawl. Jake smirked. "Or maybe it's haunted. You ever think of that? Some old hermit's ghost waiting for idiots like us to show up?" "That's exactly why we're doing this though, right? To see if the stories are true," I replied, half joking, half serious. "Or maybe it's not haunted at all," Jake said, his tone suddenly more thoughtful. "Maybe it's just a place that shouldn't exist. Like it's not really part of our world, you know? Maybe when we find it, we won't be able to leave." I glanced over at him, but he was staring straight ahead, his expression unreadable. The thought sent a chill down my spine, but I shook it off. We had come too far to let a little fear stop us. Whatever it is, we're gonna find out, I said firmly. Jake nodded, and just like that, the mood lightened again. We kept hiking, the sun still high in the sky, but with every step, the forest seemed to grow thicker and darker, as if it knew where we were heading, and it was trying to prepare us for what was to come. By the time the sun dipped past its peak, casting long shadows through the towering pines, Jake and I decided to take a break. We found a small clearing just off the trail, a patch of sunlight filtering through the trees, and dropped our packs with a sigh of relief. It was only 3 p.m., but we had been hiking for hours, and the excitement of the morning was beginning to give way to the weight of the journey ahead. Snack time? Jake suggested, pulling out a bag of trail mix from his pack. Definitely, I agreed, digging through my own...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Pack for the sandwiches I had packed earlier. We sat down on a fallen log, the quiet of the forest wrapping around us like a comforting blanket. The only sounds were the rustling of leaves and the occasional call of a distant bird. As we ate, Jake broke the silence with a smirk. Hey, you remember that story about the guy who went missing out here, in the direction we're heading? I looked at him, my sandwich halfway in my mouth. Yeah, I remember. Some hiker who vanished without a trace, right? They never found him. Jake nodded, chewing thoughtfully. Maybe he found the cabin and decided to stay forever. I mean, think about it. What if it's not like just a cabin? What if it's like a hidden mansion or something, full of everything you could ever want? Maybe that guy's living it up right now, surrounded by beautiful women, food, and riches. I laughed, the absurdity of the idea making the tension in my shoulders ease a little. Yeah, sure, Jake. A mansion in the middle of Yosemite is just waiting for us to stumble on it. With our luck, we'll find a shack full of raccoons instead. Jake grinned, his eyes twinkling with mischief. Hey, a guy can dream, right? We both laughed, the sound echoing off the trees around us. For a moment, the idea of a hidden paradise seemed almost plausible. A ridiculous fantasy that somehow made our quest feel even more worthwhile. The thought of finding something extraordinary, something beyond our ordinary, was the whole reason we were out here after all. As the laughter faded, we fell into a comfortable silence, finishing our snacks and sipping water from our canteens. The sun was beginning to dip lower in the sky, the light growing softer, casting everything into a golden glow. It was beautiful, but it also was a reminder that time was ticking. The full moon was supposed to rise tonight, and if the stories were true, that was our only chance to find the cabin. We should get moving, I said, standing up and stretching. We don't want to miss our window. Jake nodded, packing away the remnants of our snacks. Yeah, let's go. Can't have the mansion full of women disappearing before we even get there. I rolled my eyes, but couldn't help but smile as we slung our packs over our shoulders and continued down the trail. The forest seemed to grow quieter as we went, and the air cooler as the sun dipped lower and lower. Shadows stretched longer across the path, and every now and then, we would glance through the canopy looking for any sign of the moon. The anticipation was palpable now, a mix of excitement and a gnawing sense of unease. As much as we joked, we both knew there was something strange about this whole situation, something we couldn't quite put our fingers on. But that was part of the allure, too. We weren't just out here for a hike. We were on the verge of discovering something that most people will never even believe existed. As the last light of day began to fade, the forest around us took on an almost otherworldly quality. The trees seemed taller, the shadows deeper, and the path ahead narrower. We picked up the pace, eager to reach our destination before the moon fully rose. The air was thick with the promise of something unknown, and with every step, we were one step closer to finding out what that something was. Finally, as the sky darkened into a deep indigo, the first sliver of the full moon appeared above the treetops. It was almost time. By the time the sky had darkened into an inky black, with only pale light of the moon filtering through the canopy, Jake and I were running on pure adrenaline. We didn't have an exact location for the cabin, just vague directions and the hope that we were in the right area. As we trudged through the underbrush, the excitement of the day began to give way to exhaustion. The hour had grown late, and the anticipation was wearing us down. "What are we even looking for?" Jake asked, his voice a little more breathless than before. "I mean, should there be a landmark or something? A weird tree or a rock formation?" I wiped the sweat from my brow, squinting into the darkness. "I don't know. The story's never mentioned any landmarks. But it's supposed to be around here somewhere, right? We just need to keep our eyes open." The minutes ticked by, and the forest seemed to grow even more oppressive, the trees closing in all around us, like they were trying to hide the secrets we were so determined to uncover. I could feel the doubt creeping in. Maybe this was all just a wild goose chase, a legend made up to mess with kids like us. But then, just as I was about to suggest taking a break, I caught a glimpse of something through the dense shrubbery. "Jake, look," I whispered, grabbing his arm and pointing. He turned to where I was pointing, his eyes narrowing as he tried to see through the tangled branches. "Is that?" We both stepped forward cautiously, pushing aside the overgrown bush that obscured our view. And there it was, a weathered, run-down cabin, almost entirely hidden by the thick shrubbery that had grown around it. The wood was old and splintered, the roof sagging in places, but it was still undeniably a cabin. We had found it. "Holy shit," Jake muttered, staring at the structure in awe. "It's really here." I couldn't help but grin, a mix of relief and triumph washing over me. "Looks like we found your mansion, Jake. You think the women are inside waiting for us?" Jake snorted, his tiredness momentarily forgotten. "Yeah, and they've probably been waiting for decades. I can't wait to see their reaction when they finally get to meet us." We both laughed, the tension easing slightly as we stood there, taking in the sight of the cabin. Up close, it was clear why people thought it had disappeared. It was so well hidden by the thick underbrush that you could easily walk right past it without ever knowing it was there. And once you left, finding your way back would be next to impossible. "This place is a mess," I said, taking a step closer to the cabin. The wood creaked under my weight, but it held. "I guess this explains why no one ever finds it again. It's like the forest is swallowing it up." Jake nodded, still grinning. "Well, we found it, and now it's time to see what's inside. Who knows? Maybe there's more to this place than meets the eye." "Yeah," I agreed. though there was a part of me that couldn't shake the eerie feeling that was settling in my gut. But I pushed it aside, focusing on the thrill of the moment. Let's see if this mansion of yours lives up to the hype. With that, we made our way to the front of the cabin, where a rickety old door hung slightly ajar. The wood was worn and splintered, as if it had been exposed to the elements for far longer than seemed possible. But we were here now, standing at the threshold of a place that wasn't supposed to exist. Jake reached out, his hand hovering over the doorknob for a moment before he glanced back at me. Ready? I nodded, feeling the weight of the moment settling over us. Let's do this. With the final grin, Jake pushed the door open and we stepped inside, leaving the safety of the forest behind and entering a place where reality felt like it was starting to fray at the edges. Jake and I stood in the doorway of the cabin, our flashlights cutting through the darkness as we peered inside. The initial rush of excitement quickly faded as we took in what lay before us. The cabin was utterly overwhelmingly empty, dilapidated, and thoroughly disappointing. The wooden floorboards creaked under our weight. The cobwebs hung like tattered curtains from the ceilings. Dust floated in the beams of our flashlights, and the air was thick with the smell of rot and decay. "Some mansion," Jake muttered, his voice tinged with disappointment as he shone his flashlight around the room. "It's a dump." I nodded in agreement, my eyes scanning the bare walls and broken furniture scattered across the floor. There was nothing here that hinted at the grandeur or mystery we had imagined. But then I noticed something. A door at the far end of the room, slightly ajar, leading to another part of the cabin. "Hey, there's another room," I said, nodding towards the door. Jake turned his flashlight in the same direction and shrugged. "Might as well check it out. Can't be any worse than this." We cautiously made our way across the creaking floorboards, the cabin groaning with every step. As we reached the door, I hesitated for just a moment before pushing it open. The room beyond was a stark contrast to the one we had just left. As soon as we stepped through, a light flickered on above us, illuminating a hallway that was immaculate compared to the rest of the cabin. The walls were clean, the floor polished, and there wasn't a speck of dust in sight. It was as if we had walked into a completely different building. "What the hell?" Jake whispered, his voice filled with confusion. I didn't have to answer. The room was eerily pristine, untouched by time or decay. It was just a simple hallway with two doors on each side leading to who knows where. "This is more like it," Jake said, his grin returning as he glanced at me. "Let's check out the other doors. I'll take the right and you take the left." I nodded, still unnerved by the sudden change in atmosphere. We split up, each heading to the door on our own respective side of the hallway. I reached out and turned the knob on the left door, half expecting it to be locked, but it swung open with ease. "Let's see what kind of rooms this place has," I muttered to myself as I stepped inside, expecting to find a bedroom or maybe another empty, rundown space. Instead, I was met with something entirely different. The room wasn't a room at all. It was a long, narrow corridor that stretched out before me, disappearing into the darkness. There was no light source beyond the one spilling in from the hallway behind me, and the further I looked, the more the darkness seemed to swallow everything whole. The walls were bare and the air was cold, carrying with it a faint, almost metallic smell that made me uneasy. I turned around, ready to call out to Jake and share this bizarre discovery, but as I did, I realized that his door was closed. My heart skipped a beat. I hadn't heard it shut. "Jake?" I called out, my voice echoing down the corridor. There was no answer. I walked back to the hallway and tried his door, but it was locked tight. I pounded on it with my fist. "Jake, can you hear me?" Still nothing. Panic started to creep in as I tried the other doors in the hallway, but they were all locked. It was as if the cabin itself had decided to trap me here, separating us the moment we had split up. My only option now was the dark corridor in front of me. With no other choice, I turned back to the corridor, taking a deep breath to steady my nerves. The beam of my flashlight barely cut through the thick darkness, and I could feel the cold air biting at my skin as I took my first tentative step forward. The floor beneath me was solid, but the further I went, the more the cabin seemed to fade away, replaced by an oppressive sense of isolation. Every instinct told me to turn back, to find another way out, but the locked doors had made that impossible. So I kept walking deeper into the unknown, hoping that somehow this corridor would lead me back to Jake and to whatever answers this strange cabin held. But with every step I took, the light from the hallway behind me grew dimmer until all that remained was the narrow beam of my flashlight and the darkness that seemed to stretch on forever. The corridor seemed to stretch on forever, an impossibly long passage that twisted my sense of time and space. I must have been walking for 5 minutes, maybe more, my footsteps echoing off the bare walls. Just as I was beginning to think the corridor would never end, I saw it. A tiny speck of light far ahead, a beacon in the otherwise endless darkness. My heart leapt, and I broke into a run, the beam of my flashlight bouncing erratically as I raced towards the light. The closer I got, the more the light grew until it revealed itself to be an open doorway. I burst through it, skidding to a stop as I found myself in a completely different world. It was an old diner straight out of the 1950s, complete with red vinyl booths, a long counter with spinning stools and checkered floor tiles. But unlike the rest of the cabin, the diner was lit up and pristine, as if it had just opened up for the day. The air smelled faintly of coffee and fried food, and the neon signs above the counter buzzed softly, casting a warm glow over everything. My breath caught in my throat as I took in the scene. This place didn't belong here. It didn't belong anywhere near that decrepit cabin. It was like I had stepped into another time, another reality altogether. I slowly began to explore, my eyes wide with disbelief. As I moved through the diner, I noticed a jukebox against the wall, its colorful lights inviting me to come closer. Curious, I walked over and pressed one of the buttons, half expecting nothing to happen. But the jukebox whirled to life, and a burst of loud, old-fashioned rock and roll music exploded from the speakers, making me jump back in surprise. As I got back to my feet, rubbing my ears, I suddenly became aware of the new sound. Voices. At first, it was faint, like the murmur of a distant crowd, but it quickly grew louder, filling the diner with an unmistakable hum of conversation. I turned around, my heart pounding, and I froze in shock. The diner was no longer empty. It was filled with people. At least, that's what I thought they were at first. They sat at the booths, stood by the counter, and milled about the room, but something about them was all wrong. They had the shapes of people, but their faces were unsettling. Their expressions mismatched with their actions. Some smiled too widely. Others laughed without sound in their eyes. Their eyes were empty like that of nothing behind them. The smiles stretched across their faces were unnatural, as if someone had carved them in. I stood there, paralyzed by fear and confusion as the music from the jukebox grew louder and louder, the noise combining with the strange, eerie presence of these things. The din became overwhelming, pounding in my head until I couldn't take it anymore. I clamped my hands over my ears, squeezing my eyes shut, desperate for it all to stop. And then, just as suddenly as it had started, it all went silent. The music, the voices, everything, gone. I felt a hand clamp down on my shoulder and I jumped, my eyes snapped open. But instead of one of the twisted figures, I saw Jake standing in front of me, his expression a mix of confusion and concern. "Jake!" I gasped, stumbling back. "What? How did you?" "I found you in here," he said, looking around the now empty diner. "What the hell is this place, and how did you end up on my side of the cabin?" I shook my head, trying to make sense of it all. "I don't know. I went down that dark corridor and it led me here. I never made any turns, it was just a straight shot." Jake frowned, clearly not understanding. "That's impossible. My room was just a run-down bedroom, nothing special. I heard banging from the room next to mine, so I went through the door and, well, here you are." My mind raced as I tried to piece together what he was saying. "But that doesn't make any sense. I didn't take any turns. How could I have ended up next to you?" Jake looked around the diner, his expression growing more uneasy by the second. "I don't know, man, but something's not right here." I nodded, my eyes scanning the diner one last time, but it was just as empty and quiet as I had first walked in. The people, those strange, twisted figures, were gone, leaving no trace behind. And yet, the memory of their unnatural faces, those hollow eyes, and two wide smiles was burned into my mind. "We need to get out of here," I said, my voice trembling slightly. "Whatever this place is, it's not what we thought." Jake and I stepped out of the diner and back into the hallway, but something was immediately off. Instead of coming out of the door Jake had initially entered, we found ourselves emerging from the door just past it on the right. We exchanged confused glances, trying to make sense of what had just happened. "This isn't the door I came through," Jake said, his voice tinged with frustration and a growing sense of dread. I nodded, my mind racing as I tried to rationalize it. "I know, but how? We just walked out, didn't we? The diner was right there." Jake turned, ready to head back into the hallway and retrace our steps. But as we both turned to face the corridor, our confusion turned to alarm. The door that we had just exited from, along with every other door in the hallway, was gone. Only one door remained, the one on the far left. "What the hell?" I breathed, my pulse quickening. "Where did they go?" Jake shook his head, his eyes wide with disbelief. "I don't know, man. This place is seriously messed up. We need to get out of here now." We both instinctively moved towards where the cabin's main entrance should have been, but it too had vanished. The hallway had somehow changed, the walls closing in, leaving us with only one option, the far left door, standing ominously alone at the end of the hall. "I guess we don't have a choice," I said, my voice hollow. We both knew we were in way over our heads, but there was no way out now. The only way out was through whatever laid beyond that door. "Yeah," Jake replied, swallowing hard. "Let's just get this over with." We approached the door cautiously, every step echoing in the now eerily quiet hallway. Jake reached out and slowly turned the handle. The door creaked open, revealing a vast, pitch-black room beyond. Our flashlights barely penetrated the darkness, but the faint sound of our echoes told us just how massive this space was.
"This place is huge," Jake whispered, his voice barely carrying over the echoes that seemed to bounce endlessly off the unseen walls.
I swung my flashlight from side to side, but the beam was swallowed by the darkness almost immediately, giving us no sense of the room's boundaries.
"What is this place?" I asked, more to myself than to Jake.
We both stepped inside, our footsteps reverberating off the floor as we cautiously moved forward. The air was thick and cold, and the room felt impossibly large, like a cavernous void that stretched on forever. Every sound we made seemed to come back at us from all directions, distorting the sense of space and making it feel as though we were surrounded.
"We need to find a way out," Jake said, his voice sounding small in the vast emptiness. "There's got to be another door, another exit." But as we moved deeper into the room, it became clear that this space wasn't just big. It was disorienting. The darkness was oppressive, closing in on us despite the vastness of the room. The echoes of our own footsteps began to play tricks in our minds, making it feel like there was other people, other things moving just beyond the reach of our lights. "Jake, we need to stick together," I said, the panic rising in my chest as the echoes grew louder, more distorted. "This place, it's not right." He nodded, but his eyes were wide with fear, the same fear that was gripping me. We stayed close, inching forward with our flashlights sweeping back and forth, searching for anything, another door, a wall, something to anchor ourselves to. But the room seemed endless, and the deeper we went, the more it felt like we were being swallowed whole by the darkness. The echoes no longer sounded like just our footsteps. They were joined by whispers, faint and indistinct, but growing louder with each passing second. "What's that noise?" Jake asked, his voice trembling as he spun around, his flashlight dancing wildly across the empty space. I didn't answer. I couldn't. The whispers were coming from everywhere and nowhere, surrounding us and filling the space between us with a chilling sense of dread. "We need to get out of here," I finally managed to say, my voice barely a whisper. The lights flickered on, barely illuminating the vast warehouse that stretched out before me. It was massive, the ceiling so high it disappeared into shadows. At first, the space appeared empty, but then I noticed something in the far corner, rows of old dusty crates stacked haphazardly against the wall. My curiosity piqued. I made my way over, shining my flashlight on the labels. Each crate was marked with a range of dates, some in faded ink, others more recent. I ran my fingers over the nearest one, reading the label, 1960 through 1970. Next to it was another marked 1950 through 1960. My eyes scanned the rows until I found the oldest one, 1880 through 1890. The thought of what could be inside sent a shiver down my spine. Jake, always restless, had wandered off into a side of the room to explore. I hesitated for a moment, then decided to pry open a crate labeled 1980 through 1990. The lid creaked as I lifted it, revealing a jumble of personal belongings from the 80s. Cassette tapes, a Walkman, old Polaroid photos, a Rubik's Cube, and a worn denim jacket with patches sewn on it. I pulled out a few items, feeling like I was unearthing someone's forgotten life. "Jake, you gotta see this," I called out, turning around to show him what I had found. But as I turned, my heart nearly stopped. Behind me, arranged in a disturbingly lifelike manner, was a group of mannequins. They hadn't been there before, I was sure of it. Their positions were unsettling, as if they had been caught in the act of sneaking up on me. One was crouched low, another reaching out with its hand, and a third was leaning in with a twisted grin frozen on its face. I jumped back, and my elbow knocked into one of the mannequins, sending it toppling to the floor. The mannequin hit the ground with a sickening thud, and the impact knocked loose a piece of its clothing, revealing something beneath it that made my stomach lurch. The mannequin just wasn't plastic. Beneath its exterior was exposed muscle, still pulsing and flexing as if it was alive. "Oh, God," I said, stumbling backward. Jake, get in here!" There was no response. Panic rising, I sprinted towards the side of the room where Jake had gone. I pushed open the door, and there, in the center of the room, was another mannequin. This one was squatting down, its hand outstretched as if it had been inspecting something on the floor. "Jake," I whispered, my voice trembling. The room was deadly silent, but then I heard it. A faint rustling behind me. I spun around, my heart pounding in my chest. The group of mannequins was now closer. Their positions shifted as if it had been moving while my back was turned.
The one I had knocked over earlier was now on its side, trying to push itself up, its muscles twitching unnervingly. I heard a muffled sound behind me, and my blood ran cold. I turned back to the squatting mannequin. It was standing now, its head cocked slightly to the side, and from somewhere inside it came a desperate, muffled cry, like someone was trapped inside. I took a hesitant step closer, straining to listen. The muffled voice grew louder, filled with desperation. Then from behind me, there was another noise, a shuffling, like the mannequins were moving again. I whipped around, flashlight beam catching the group inching ever closer. In a blind panic, I stumbled backward, colliding with the one squatting mannequin. It fell forward, hitting the ground face first, and the impact tore away its face, revealing raw, moving muscle around its mouth. The muffled noise came clearer, garbled but unmistakable. "Rudy, run!" It was Jake's voice. Without thinking, I bolted from the room, my mind reeling with terror. I ran back into the warehouse, the mannequins echoing footsteps close behind me. My breath caught in my throat as I saw it, a large door at the far end of the warehouse. I didn't stop to think. I threw open the door and rushed through it, not daring to look back. But when I stumbled out the other side, I found myself back at the entrance of the cabin. Everything that had just happened was too much to process. My legs carried me forward on pure instinct out of the cabin and into the night. I ran all the way home, not stopping until I was safe inside with the door locked behind me. I told my parents everything, but they didn't believe me. They thought that I had some kind of panic attack, that I had imagined all of it. But I knew the truth. Jake was missing, and it was all because of that cabin. Searches yielded no results. I tried to find it again every full moon ever since that night, combing the brush and retracing our steps. But the cabin never reappears. I became a park ranger at Yosemite, hoping that one day I may stumble across it again, that I might find Jake and finally uncover the truth of what had happened. Tonight is another full moon, and for some reason, I have a good feeling about it this time. Maybe tonight, I'll finally find that cabin again. Perhaps tonight, I'll finally bring Jake home.